This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What's going on? This is obviously, you know, he needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyways. Dave Mustaine, Megadeth. They're coming Wednesday, April 26th, Angel of the Winds Arena in Everett with Bullet for My Valentine and Oni. How you doing today, man? Are you down in LA?
No, I live in Tennessee.
Oh, that's right.
I live
that's
in Nashville. Right.
Well, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
You know, you were recently on stage with Marty Friedman. What was it like, you know, reuniting with Marty and doing that again?
That was fun. That was fun. I think you would have liked it if you were there. He seemed like he was having a good time.
It's cool.
You know, I was able to kind of take a couple steps back and let Kiko and Marty play together. And that was really fun too for me because, you know, I've never been able to watch Megadeth play. So. Yeah. Being able to kind of take a couple steps back and watch, it was kind of surreal almost.
So you're like someone that people are like, holy dude, like a guitar god. Who's someone that you kind of are just like, I'm not worthy.
A metal guy or just guitar player?
Anyone, just guitarist.
Well, there's a lot of guys that I look at and I can say, you know, they're really, really great players. But you know, a lot of times it comes down to what's the package deal? Are they songwriters or are they players? You know, there are so many muso players that I've seen that are just amazing talents, but you know, they can't write songs. And then there's songwriters that are some of the greatest songwriters, you know, in the world, but you know, they, as soon as the second chorus is done, they've kind of shot their wad and that's it, you know? but yeah, I think a lot of that has to do too with what makes them happy. Mm-hmm.
On. Well, you know, there's always been, you know, the specter of the super group, you know, and there's been, you know, talks back in the day, there was the talks of, you know, Rob Halford and Bruce Dickinson doing a band. You know, have you ever thought about doing a super group? Have you ever been approached? Is there anything that's ever, you know, been thought about for you to join forces with anyone else or not really?
I think being in Megadeth and Metallica, there's no other super groups that can be put together with people out there. I mean, where do you go from there, for fuck's sake, right?
That's a good
can't
point.
Really, you can't, there's not a lot of people out there. I mean, it's not like going to a smorgasbord and just picking dudes out there. You know, if you wanted to do something, you know, you'd want to pick all the right people, you know, and far be it for me to be the one who's in charge picking all the components. You know, I would love to be able to take a back seat again, like I did in Metallica, and just, you know, play and just hang out, you know.
Yeah.
That was a lot easier and a lot more fun for me.
Did you, so like, you know, at a really young age, you know, you started playing at a high level. Did you ever have to have a job before that? Where did you ever have just like a day job? Was there ever a time where Dave Mustaine wasn't just a full-time rocker?
Yeah, I did, but I wasn't any good at it. When I was, I had my first job when I was 9, I got a paper route.
Okay.
And, you know, my mom had kind of decided she was going to be a Jehovah's Witness when I was a little kid. And we were, you know, pretty much diametrically opposed towards one another spiritually and just about every other way you can, you know, have a standoff with another person, even if it is your mom, you know? I don't even know where I'm going with that whole thing, but you know,
You made your own money and you had your own, you made your own money.
Well, you know, the thing about you know, the having a job and it's like what does somebody consider a job? You know, I was selling pot for a long time too. A lot of people nowadays, that's a legitimate business. You know, back in the day, I would have been a entrepreneur, you know, but right now, you know, I was just a felon that never got caught. So jobs, you know, I remember having a paper route at night with Lars. We
worked
for the LA Times, and, you know, we would get polluted and drive through the neighborhoods at night, throwing newspapers wherever there were unsuspecting vehicles. And, you know, I don't think I really had any other jobs. Well, I had some telemarketing jobs.
I've had those jobs too. Yep.
Yeah. They suck. Hey, it's, Akros, and we're calling about those turbines up on your roof, right?
Yeah.
People would say nowadays, if we called up and said that we're calling about the turbines up on your roof, they'd go f*** you and hang up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there was, that's never a positive day when you're like, okay, I'm going to go bother people for 5 hours, you know? So.
Yeah. Especially try and pry their credit cards out of them over the telephone.
Yep. Always close. Try to close the deal. So on a more serious subject, within the last couple of years, you battled cancer and you are victorious. You're a cancer survivor. Congratulations. And tell me, that seems like from, and I'm sure from your perspective, it did not seem fast, but from a fan, I remember, you know, on Metal Shop, we broke the news and it seems like, you know, fairly quickly you were back up and running and you had beaten it. And, you know, what was that whole time frame?
Time frame? You mean how long did it take?
Yeah. Better way to say it.
I don't remember. That was kind of an emotionally challenging time for me. So I was not really, I just couldn't subscribe to that whole process and give it any more importance than it absolutely needed, because I didn't want it to have any kind of root in my psyche. You know what I mean? I wanted to get over this. To me, it was another temporary problem.
Yeah.
And there were permanent solutions. I just needed to have the right attitude towards it. And, you know, I talk about it on stage sometimes. You know, I try to, you know, tell the story, and some nights it sounds good. Other nights, I have fear of coming across like a victim, and I don't want to sound like that, because there's so many people that have what I had worse. You know, I know that Bruce told me that he had the same thing in his mouth, and you know, I think he sounds great still.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. Right. So, and for me, it kind of helped me put things back into perspective in a lot of areas of, you know, my life and the things that matter to me. And you know, the opposite side of that coin, the things that just did not matter.
Yeah.
You know, certain people that you thought really were critical to be in your life, and then you find out that they're really just vampires.
And then, you know, that next tour after that, that must have just felt like, yes, we're back at, like, you're like, must have felt victorious.
The tour after I was pronounced cancer free.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, again, I try not to put too much importance on what the doctors say. I want to make sure that the numbers are accurate and that, you know, my efforts are 100%. You know, when we went out on tour, when I supposedly had it, you know, I just kind of felt uncomfortable in my mouth. I felt like I had an injury from having dental work done. Okay. And then I saw someone and he said, you don't have it. And another guy says, you've got the big C, and, you know, it's going back and forth. And I was, you know, pretty fucking fed up with the whole thing by the time it was over, if you know what I mean. When I went in for my initial intake stuff, they had to draw blood out of my neck, and we were at Vanderbilt, and they had some interns there, and they were trying to draw blood out of one of my lymph nodes, which doesn't have giant veins in it, and they were panicking, the poor things, you know. And you know, I mean, I'm not experienced at having people try and suck fluids out of my lymph nodes in my neck, for Christ's sakes. But, you know, that was just, it was a day in the life at the time, you know. And we'd get up, we'd go, we'd come back, and then I'd head over to the band house and just be with the band guys and, you know, let them help recharge my batteries.
So, you know, aside from you making music, and if you're having a, you know, if you're having a particularly crappy day, or if you're just kind of, you know, bummed out, or, you know, you need something to recharge you, what is an album you can reach for that is a tried and true, like something that'll get you back to a good spot?
Oh, there's a lot of good albums like that. You know, obviously there's different eras. I can listen to stuff like Pat Travers and Heat in the Streets, always a great album to listen to, and stuff like Alan Parsons Project with Tales of Mystery and Imagination, or you know, if I really want to get uplifted, something like Aztec Camera or Crowded House, stuff like that. But then, you know, when I want to hear metal, you know, there's the tried and true bands that I've listened to over and over and over again: Saxon, Motorhead, Iron Maiden, Merciful Fate, you know, bands like Riot. And I can't tell you how many times we went into the studio absolutely convinced we were going to be cutting a cover of a Riot song.
Really?
Yes, never happened, but maybe one day.
That's awesome, man. That would be cool. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, thanks.
So during the pandemic and maybe even before, I'm not quite sure, that's when I started to become familiar with Gimme Metal. You had your own radio show on Gimme Metal. They just announced recently that they're going to be shutting down Gimme Metal within this next month. What was it like having your own radio show? Was that a blast for you?
It was fun. I'm glad I got out in time so that, you know, I wasn't part of the debacle that it became at the end. You know, I think that a lot of people had the right, you know, their intentions were good, but, you know, the saying. And my feeling about that whole platform is that, you know, if they have the right people running it with the right vision, the right demographics, and they're using the right research, you know, they're how could they not fail? I mean, how could they not be successful? You know, you get important musicians to do shows, but see, what one of the things were they weren't really paying anybody to do the shows, and you're not going to get a lot of musicians to go dedicate their time over week after week to do these radio shows if there's not something in it for them. You know, they have bills to pay, tours to be on, or jobs to have, you know.
Well, it was certainly cool to hear you during that pandemic time.
It was fun.
You know, we couldn't, you know, go out to shows. And I think, if I'm correct, the first show that I saw, because Seattle, we were a little bit more closed off than some states in the United States, and shows didn't come back as quick. But first show I actually went back to was with you guys and Lamb of God and Hatebreed and Trivium. So that was pretty cool to see you guys as like the first thing. Felt like, all right, a return to form. That was probably a really cool time for you guys.
Yeah.
What are your memories of working with Sanctuary on the first Sanctuary record, Refuge Denied?
That was a treat. Worrell was very talented. God rest his soul. Lenny and Sean, the two cousins, were very interesting, very interesting guitar duo. And I thought that's what made the band sound so great. They reminded me of like Rossington Collins and just, you know, a guitar duo that just worked well together. And, you know, the band starting that whole scene, and Terry Date being an unknown guy and me using him as my engineer in there and him going on to greater things, I think was wonderful for him. I'm so proud of what Terry's done. So, it was fun. The Pink Elephant car wash and all those times.
So you actually came up to Seattle for that. That's awesome.
That's where we cut that record up in Seattle. Yeah.
That's cool. I always just assume they went down to LA or something like that. That's cool.
No. I plugged in. I was local.
That's awesome. Do you ever?
I had to make it authentic.
Yeah. Do you ever get the urge to do that anymore? Like produce bands? Do you ever?
If it's a good band, if it's a good band, I've had a couple opportunities come up and the timing's just not right. And, you know, it hasn't been that there's been shitty bands. It's just been, you know, the timing's just not right. And, some of the projects that I do, you know, I want to make sure that I'm involved from the beginning, you know, not just jumping in at the end and putting my last name on something, you know, that's kind of cheesy. There's all kinds of showbiz pigs like that in both coasts that do that on people's records. And, you know, I think that's kind of unfortunate. A lot of bands get taken advantage of with that.
Do you enjoy living in Tennessee? Is that keep you a little bit more grounded being away from, you know, the LA and all that?
I think so. You know, there's, it's not too abnormal to watch a whole troop of turkeys trotting across my backyard.
Awesome.
And it's an ungodly sound they make, but you know, there's all kinds of wildlife here. I was watching a female fox cutting through my back pasture maybe 2 weeks ago, and she was beautiful. You know, the males in the animal kingdom are supposed to be more beautiful than the females are, and I don't know, she just was a beautiful looking creature whatever.
Probably wouldn't see that in LA.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
probably not unless you're up in the mountains.
When you're going into, you know, write or, you know, kind of brainstorm for Megadeth or brainstorm for your music, does it usually just start with you, or does it start with the whole band like jamming on something, or is it just kind of you sitting down in like your chair and just coming up with something?
It's both. Okay. Honestly, there's no set formula. I think that if I start sitting down with a formula, that's, you know, that's probably just about when I'm going to start believing my own hype and ruin everything.
Can't do that, man. Are there any songs throughout your discography that you just refuse to play, or that you've retired? You're just like, eh, I'm over that.
A song that I've retired?
Yeah. Is there any songs or anything that you're just like, nah, I don't want to play that anymore?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
There's a lot of songs like that, but you just keep playing them.
Oh, fair enough.
Because there's fans that have seen you for the first time. And if you're dedicated to your music and your project, you know, you're going to treat every show like it's somebody's first show, because it usually is. So when I ask the audience at night, is how many people are seeing Megadeth for their first time, you'd be really surprised how many hands go up. I'm pleasantly surprised, and I think it's really great to see young fans that are opening their minds up to speed and thrash metal, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's 2023. I was listening to just this podcast, and they were talking about like the file sharing era and like all how like the record industry has changed in the past 23 years. In your opinion, with like democratization of music, with everyone having these platforms, are record labels important still? And what importance do record labels play in the music industry?
What was the last part of that?
Are record labels still important? What importance do record labels play in the music industry still?
Well, some labels are important. It depends on what kind of relationship they have with the artist and how well the artist knows the inner workings of a record label. You know, if you just go in there and you're stamping your foot and trying to get things to happen, and you don't understand, you know, how things work, you know, getting money freed up and having strategies, all that kind of stuff put into play, you know, there's, I mean, far be it from me to say, you know, that I know how to strategize a record release, but, you know, I mean, I've been through enough of them where I can tell you what doesn't work. And you know, being with a label like Universal, where we're at right now, you know, it makes it hard to leave them. Our record contract is up, and we are free agents now. Not only is our record contract up, but so is our publishing contract. Wow. and our merchandise contract. So I'm truly a free agent, we're just kind of hanging out and seeing who's going to take me to the dance.
What are your thoughts on, you know, iconic artists selling their rights and their catalog to, you know, tech platforms and investment firms? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think,
well, if they need the money, they should do it. If they're doing it and it's because they want to be trendsetters and do something cool, that's a different reason too. But if people are doing it just for the sake of doing it, let the buyer beware, you know, caveat emptor. And for me, I would be very cautious putting my rights for anything up for a crapshoot. You know, it's taken me 40 years to get my rights back on some of these songs.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kev, I don't think it's a good idea for me to look a gift horse in the mouth like that.
You've worked hard 40 years
and
a lot of money probably, and a lot of time spent getting that rights to that. So that's huge.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes artists, like I said, if they need the money, they got to do it. So I'm not going to, certainly not going to look down my nose at anybody who has to do that. And, you know, hopefully those that have to will find somebody that's a decent human being that will help facilitate, you know, their having to temporarily be displaced from their rights and their royalties. Absolutely. You know, it would be cool if people, you know, if they were in a bind and they needed to get, you know, some money, that they were able to reacquire their stuff back. Like, I think that's what the Beatles and Michael Jackson did.
I remember, right.
Didn't old Jacko buy the rights and then, Paul got him back.
Yep. That was, because there were Beatles commercials popping up on commercials and you're like, that would never happen. So I remember that.
Yeah. So,
my last question for you, man, April 26th, y'all are going to be playing at Angel of the Winds Arena in Everett with Bullet for My Valentine. The newest Megadeth record, The Sick, the Dying and the Dead, is available now. You can pick it up at the show. But my last question for you is a question we ask everyone. Pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but at least tell us the story of how you got the scar.
Ooh. okay. Let's see. I got a scar up here. That's skin cancer. I got two scars down here. That's from skin cancer. I had a fusion here that was from them putting a plate in. Let me see. What other scars do I have? I have a scar on my back. I've got... I can't show you those ones because they're too close to the baby cannon and we don't want anybody seeing that. Scars. I can't really show you anything that's big and juicy, but I can tell you about a scar I had on my forehead up here. Yeah. I had skin cancer, and the guy, when he cut out the skin cancer, let me see if I can find a picture of it real quick. I'll show it to you. It's pretty gnarly. When he cut the hole out of my forehead, it you could look into my forehead. It was absolutely devastating. I could not believe that I was looking into my brain like that. Getting close, I can see the blood.
Look into your forehead, Dave. Brutal, dude.
Yes.
It's like an album cover.
It would be, huh? Big old Frankenstein shot. Come on, it'll be worth it, I promise.
All right.
These are all pictures of my scars. I'm just kidding.
Just like hundreds of scars.
Yes. Come on, you son of a gun. Where are you? I want you to see this. Oh, there it is. There it is. Oh, look at this.
Oh, that is metal. Jeez.
Right? You could pick my head up like a bowling ball.
All right. I bet someone in the world would love to do that. Just bowl with
that. Was gnarly, huh?
That's amazing. Dirty, oh, dude. Stuff, That was worth the wait. Damn.
Yeah. I won't show you the cancer they pulled out, though, because that's too gnarly.
When Megadeth puts out a B-sides record, we got the album cover right there.
No way, man. That'll make people cry. All right.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking the time, bro. And again,
you're welcome.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.